Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. Well, the last few weeks, we have had some programs here concerning the fall feasts of the Lord, sometimes called the Feast of Israel, but of course they're the Feast of the Lord. And we commemorate them. We celebrate them in a way, but not in the strict ritualistic legal sense, but we celebrate them in a way. But the main point of studying them and of becoming familiar with them is that they point to Messiah, as all of the Torah does, and all of the prophets do, and all of the writings do. All of that scripture points to him as Messiah and Lord. And the whole point of having chosen people, of having the old covenant, or the older covenant, the Tanakh, the Old Testament, was that God reveals himself, reveals who he is, what he's like, how he wants us to live and behave, how he loves us and intervenes and plans our lives, and how ultimately he sends a Messiah, his own son, to deal with the sin problem. We live in a time where no one talks about sin problem because no one has any concept of sin, because everybody is fine and we are to tolerate everything, and no way of life, no point of view, no belief is more true than any other one. And so therefore, we have to tolerate everything. And even though we're to tolerate everything, that does not include the Word of God. It does not include 4,000 years of Judeo-Christian morality, but that's a topic for another show. But suffice it to say that when Jesus says all the scriptures testify of him, and when he says Moses and the prophets, he showed them how Moses and the prophets, and then in the upper room says Moses and the prophets in the Psalms all were about him. And how it says in Ephesians 2, 14 and 15, that in his flesh he broke down the partition between the two, making one new man. We see that by studying the Tanakh, the Old Testament, we have the foundation to really understand Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, why he came, what he came to do, how he came, and what he did, and what he leaves to us as a result. And so we're going to go tonight to sort of, I don't know if it ties together, but as a good example of how these things pointed forward, and they do not point backwards. In other words, the Torah, for example, and the prophets and the writings, but when you read Torah and you see all the things that foreshadow Messiah, you see foreshadowings, you see types, you see prefigurements, and then you see how they're fulfilled in him. If you study Torah and then you see how they're fulfilled in him, it gives you a very rich understanding, a very solid foundation, compared to if you don't know any of that. And so, keeping that in mind, however, when you have the substance, the fulfillment, which is Messiah, when you have that substance with a capital S, you don't leave the substance and say, I like the types and the shadows, I like the prefigurements, and I like the foretellings, I guess kind of more. So maybe I'm going to go back and do that. Oh, yeah, I got the substance, but I want to go back and do some more of that types and shadow stuff. Well, we're going to take a passage today that Paul wrote, and we're not going to go over the whole life of Paul, but suffice it to say that, of course, as you know, he was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee. In fact, he was Pharisee of Pharisees, Hebrews of Hebrews. As he says in Galatians, no one was more zealous for the traditions of the Father than he was. No one was advancing in Judaism more than he was. He makes it very clear that he's not just some casual observer. He's not just some guy who shows up for the Shabbat service and stays 57 minutes and then leaves. He does all the things. He does all the stuff. And this is, of course, why he began persecuting the church. Because when he heard people say that that man, Jesus of Nazareth, was God, then that was an unbearable statement from the point of view of the law, capital L, because that's complete gross idolatry to say that a man can be God. And so this was Saul of Tarsus. Now, he did not change his name to Paul. Okay, let's get that out of the way. He had a Hebrew name and he had a Roman name. I should say Greco-Roman name. He grew up in the Greek world, in Tarsus, part of the Roman Empire. He was fluent in Greek, fluent in Latin, and of course Hebrew and Aramaic and I don't know what else. So minimum of four languages he was fluent in. But many people in those days had a Hebrew name and a Roman name. So Paulus was his Greek-Roman name. So we're going to go tonight, before the time gets away, because I'm doing so long of an introduction, to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to quickly read verses 4 through 11 and then talk about it a little bit. Philippians 3, give you a chance to flip to it, where Saul, we'll call him Paul to make it easier, Shaul is his Hebrew name, Paulus is his Greek name and his Latin name, how he looks back on his former life. Talks about this in Romans, talks about this in Galatians, but let's look at verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks they may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is from Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So now here Paul talks about the change that has occurred in him. He is now trusting in Christ. He is no longer trusting in his former life in the law. He's no longer trusting in the scholarship that he had, the legalism that he had, the devotion he had, not only to the law, of course, which there are only 613, but even to the traditions, which were thousands more things. In fact, this is why Jesus had such an issue. Well, one of the reasons he had such an issue with the Pharisees was he told them, your traditions make my word of no effect. because you teach as law the precepts of men. So Paul says, I'm trusting in Christ through grace rather than my background in the law. And you know, as you read through Paul's letters, he talks a lot about boasting. In almost all those letters, he talks about boasting and warns against boasting and how we have nothing to boast about because we don't accomplish anything, including salvation. We have nothing to boast about. If we earned our salvation, we could boast about it. Ephesians 2:8-10. If we earned our salvation, then we could boast. But we have nothing to boast about. So he says, if people are boasting in the flesh, I have even more to boast about. He's got more credentials. He's got more background. In 1 Corinthians, he even says he's done more than all the other apostles, but that's a little different. Paul had the right heredity. He was a true Israelite. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was a small tribe, but they always stood with Judah. When the other tribes rebelled, Benjamin was there with Judah, trying to preserve the original system of Torah and the prophets. He was very faithful to follow the law. He even adds, I'm circumcised on the eighth day, which, of course, was a sign of the covenant. He was showing how he was involved in the covenant and that he had not only subjected himself to the covenant, but was, I guess you'd say, powerfully, intimately following every step, including being circumcised on the eighth day. If the law said do this, he was doing it. He was faithful to follow every sign of the covenant. It says he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. The true identity, the whole depth of his identity was in this. Both of his parents, of course, were faithful Jews. He mentions that, actually in Acts 26, I can't remember the exact verse, he mentions that he lived as a Pharisee. And somewhere else in Acts, before that, he mentions that he was a son of a Pharisee. So his father was, in some degree, a Pharisee as well. And he points out here he was blameless when it came to the righteousness of the law. Blameless when it came to the righteousness of the law. In other words, if his righteousness was being measured by the law, then he was golden because he did all the law. So according to the law, he was righteous. He couldn't be accused by anybody that he wasn't following the law. As a Pharisee, he was perfectly happy to point out to others that they were not following the law, but he knew for a fact that he was righteous. He was following the law. This was what the Pharisees did. This is why they set themselves up. This is why they considered themselves to be righteous. And so, as a result of that, if somebody was not following the law, if somebody was not doing what he was doing, they were his enemies. This was because of his zeal. In Galatians, as I mentioned, he talks about zeal for the law, zeal for the traditions of the fathers. Zeal is a very powerful force, and this is what he had. And so, he's blameless, he's righteous, he's following, he's in the covenant, he's persecuting the enemies, he's got zeal. These were all very positive things if you lived in the society of Pharisees. These were very positive things. This is how he was, well, we know from tradition that he went to the temple from the time of his bar mitzvah, and stayed there until the road to Damascus experience, studying. We know also that he studied under the Rabbi Gamaliel, who was probably the preeminent rabbi of the times. He was, you can look at it as kind of if you were a physics graduate student at Princeton and Einstein was your advisor, was your graduate professor, was your thesis manager, that would be a huge honor that would be known throughout the whole world. Well, that's the position Gamaliel was in. If you were one of Gamaliel's students, we know this from the book of Acts, if you were one of Gamaliel's students, you were in the highest echelon of all of this. Well, that was Saul of Tarsus. That was Paul. So in verse 7, we see all these things were important. All these things were gained for him according to the law and in terms of the Pharisees. And how does he look at it now? He counts them as loss. He counts them as loss. All those things he did, all those things he accomplished, all those things he studied are now nothing compared to knowing Christ, are now nothing compared to his salvation, which has come to him by faith. All these things are as nothing compared to what he has now. Those things no longer enrich him like they did before. Many believers at the time were inhibited by those things, as he talks in Galatians about the Judaizers. So he trusted those things. Now he trusts Christ. So when you put your faith in Jesus, when you put your faith in Yeshua the Messiah, you don't say, well, now I'm going to go back and do the other stuff. Because the other stuff points to Messiah. He's the focus of it. He's the rock that we stand on. The other things mentioned before him were leading up to him. And Paul says, I count that all as loss. All as loss. He says, I've lost everything because of my new faith. He's lost everything. He lost his position. He lost his prestige. Probably lost a fairly good income. Not sure how they did that, but, you know, the tithe went to support the Levites and to support the temple. The Pharisees, I don't know if they got some kind of financial compensation through this whole system. They probably did. Because even though they were zealous for the law, they also didn't want their bureaucratic system upset by anything, especially a bunch of no-name people from Galilee who weren't educated, who had no credentials for anything. Certainly didn't want them interfering with their lifestyle. So he says, that not only is that all lost now, he says, I count them as rubbish. Rubbish. Because now I know the truth. Now I know what these things are about. Now I know what these things pointed to. Now I know who, capital A, capital W, they pointed to. Because these things were all about him. Moses and the prophets were about him. Abraham saw his day and rejoiced. Jesus tells his apostles, who weren't the most intelligent spiritual guys in the land by any means, he says, patriarchs and prophets, they long to see what you see and hear what you hear. But they didn't see it, and they didn't hear it. And here are you guys hearing and seeing things that they longed to hear. At the Transfiguration, they see Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, talking with him because he is the end result of that. He is what these things pointed to. He says, compared to him, this is rubbish. Now, as intellectual as Paul was, as brilliantly intelligent as he was, and hardworking and dedicated and zealous, he's not talking about an intellectual knowledge about Jesus. He's talking about a relationship. He's talking about an intimate knowledge. He's talking about a total surrender. He's talking about dedication. He's not talking about intellectual assent. Yeah, I know that now. Yep. I've read a lot about him, and yes, very important. Yes. No, everything that came before is now loss. Everything that came before is rubbish. And now he realizes that salvation comes from him, that salvation comes by faith. He realizes now that salvation is the deliverance from sin, is the deliverance from all he had before, and this is the true righteousness. And that this is the only cure for fallen sinners, as we would say. He doesn't use that term, but it's the same idea. It's the only remedy that there is for sick, fallen sinners. The law does not do that. The law does not have remedy. The law condemns you when you don't follow it. So if you're legalistic, if you're scrupulous, you're in bondage to the law. And when the law condemns you, you have nothing else to go to. Grace does not do that. And this has had such a powerful impact on Paul that he's given up the privileges of being a Pharisee. He's given up all the public acclamation and all the people bowing as he walks by and all the, you know, come and sit over here when I go to the wedding or when I go to the whatever. You know, like Jesus said, they love their places of honor. He's not like that anymore. He counts all that as loss. He counts all that zeal that he did as loss because nothing stands in competition with knowing Christ or in comparison to him. We have many people in the churches today that are legalistic and that are scrupulous and that are making laws all the time, and everyone who knows the smallest letter of every regulation. But this is what Jesus condemned when he was with the Pharisees. This is what Paul is condemning here. All that is not righteousness. That just leads to people being scrupulous. And actually, it can be an inhibitor. Can inhibit your relationship. So Paul says, I count that as loss. I count that as rubbish compared to knowing Christ. You know, he commonly uses athletic imagery, as you know, talks about athletic imagery a lot. And he talks about gaining Christ in this passage. He wants to gain Christ. He wants to win. He wants to win the prize. This is the prize. You know, he always talks about keep your eyes fixed on the prize. Train. Go. Train for an imperishable crown, not a perishable crown. Strive. He wants to be found in Christ because he realizes now, after decades of being a Pharisee, that he doesn't have righteousness of his own. He doesn't have righteousness. He thought he had righteousness from the law. But now he realizes he has righteousness through Christ, not through the law. This is the perfect righteousness, not the righteousness of the law and the traditions of the fathers. And so he says, righteousness is not from the law, but through faith. Righteousness is through faith in Christ. Woo! And that, of course, begins with Abraham. And again, studying Torah, which I highly, 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 highly recommend you do. In fact, if you go on YouTube, look for one of my YouTube channels called The Torah Class. You can check out some of that. Oh, I know the music's already playing and the time's already done. Well, thanks for listening, and join us again next week on The Gift of Grace, and we'll read and teach God's Word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week. With